mechanics, in my opinion, it's like the weather. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But you got to pitch. You got to go out and do your job. So that's what we're trying to teach here, and that's the idea of pitching mechanicless. Still work at those mechanics, but go out there and see if you can cut the ties a little bit and go have some fun doing, you know, what they do in Sandlot.
Welcome back, coaches, and thanks for taking this call. You're dialed into the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse. This is our podcast where we connect you with some of the best baseball minds in our game today, giving each of us tremendous insight and information that we can all use to develop and grow ourselves as coaches. It's going to positively enhance your players and your programs, and it's going to help grow the game of baseball along with you, and we could not be more thankful for each of you guys listening in. I'll be your host, Jeremy Schiedinger from the ABCA, and we sat down with Greg Moore, the head coach at Cal State Northridge, who's done an exceptional job of turning around the Matador program, helped guide him to back-to-back 30-win seasons, but more importantly, he's really changing the culture there at CSUN, especially on the mound with his pitching staff. Greg talks about his approach to pitching mechanicless, which is all about keeping things simple for his pitchers, but more of arming them with key phrases, cues to fix themselves, and keep his arms attacking the strike zone and opposing hitters. Greg also gives us insight into his time with the USA baseball program, winning a pair of gold medals and working with some of the best players in our country. In case you missed it, Greg was chosen as one of our featured speakers for our upcoming ABCA convention out in Anaheim, California, and we're using this medium, our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, to highlight these featured clinicians who will be up on the main stage with every episode until we get to January. This will easily be one of the best lineups of clinicians for our Anaheim convention that you've seen, and you need to see them live in Anaheim. January 5th through the 8th, our annual ABCA convention, guys, is 4 days of baseball heaven. It's an experience that will positively change your coaching career, and we hope to see each of you guys out in Cali with us this January. We appreciate each of you listening in, and our hope is that we can count on you as being one of our ABCA members, and you've joined the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity. If you already have, thank you. We appreciate your loyalty, obviously your commitment to improving yourself in our game. But if you haven't, guys, after this episode, head on over to our website, abca.org. You can find more information about all the great things we're doing for our baseball coaches worldwide. Now, you've been patiently waiting for some certified audio gold. And coaches, here it is, a terrific conversation with Greg Moore, the head coach at Cal State Northridge, as we talk about keeping it simple on the mound. Thanks for listening in, guys, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball. Okay, guys, we're going to kick off this episode. We've got a tremendous guest, and we're going to get to Greg in just a second, but he's entering his fourth season as head coach at Cal State Northridge. We're excited about having Greg on our podcast today. He's going to be up on the main stage with us in Anaheim. Greg, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Sheets, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, it was an easy decision, man, and we, just for our listeners at home, to give them a little bit of feedback on where this has come from. You know, we scheduled this a few months back, and we got to that date, and I reached out to you, and I said, Greg, we ready to roll tomorrow? Like, well, Sheets, I'm going to need to call it off a little bit. I'm in Mexico still playing baseball, and you were actually with USA Baseball, and you've done that for the past three summers, and what was awesome about this summer is you came home with a gold medal. You want to talk us through that USA Baseball experience?
Yeah, it was a fun chase, both you and I think you're traveling the United States, and at that time I was in Mexico, but the experience of being with USA is so unique. I mean, you put the jersey on, and that's special alone. But I think the biggest thing that you take away is watching those young, quote-unquote, high-profile guys, just watch them let their egos melt away when they put USA on their own chest. I think when you have a little more life experience, you see that, and it deepens when you do wear the jersey. But to watch 17, 18-year-olds do it, it's powerful, it's special. And then to see them grow as a team, as a group, and key on the right things in terms of being baseball players and just young guys off the field traveling through airports and being on buses, it's a really, really special thing. I always tell the USA administration that that's as much about baseball as it is about educating these future stars to what it's going to take when they get into pro baseball, and eventually they're the face of some organization. It's a special thing in a lot of ways, and the best part is seeing those guys grow.
As I'll say, it sounds like a lot of lessons are transcending the field and obviously helping them grow in life. That's a pretty awesome experience for you and those players. You know, getting into what's been going on there at Cal State Northridge, Greg, under your leadership, you've really turned the program around, and I know you'll be humble in this question, but, I mean, you're talking back-to-back 30-win seasons, and that's the first time it's happened in well over 15 years, and your success at San Francisco before you got there, I mean, you're an easy choice for us to get up on the main stage based on your name and reputation across the country and what you've been able to do with pitching staffs. Talk to us about, obviously, what's gone on there at Northridge, and give our listeners kind of an up to speed on what's gone on there and how the transition's gone for you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. It's been a joy, and I mean that at the deepest sense. We've got great young guys, and we had great guys when we got here 3.5 years ago. They were just a little bit different in terms of their priorities as far as off the field. And we really focused on turning the backwards hats around. We wear them frontwards or we don't wear them.
Yep.
And then putting on the collared shirt, even if it's a polo rather than the tank top. So that started there. And then we worked our way onto the field. We've got some of the same guys here, and we enjoy the heck out of the players that were in this program before. They were very well-intentioned, but now I think they're focused on some simple things, you know, the handshake and the eye contact and being out on the field, running hard through the bag. It's nothing special, but it is consistent. When it's consistent, it's a lot of fun to watch. But I'm proud of the group we have. Last year, we won the Community Service Award, which is a good thing to have. We ask our guys not to punch a clock when they're out in the community, but somebody did for us. You know, the GPA keeps climbing every semester. The wins, like you said, have been good. And you know, the results will take care of themselves, but it's fun every day to be around these guys and kind of push them in one way and support them in another. We're lucky to be here at CSUN.
You know, we were talking before, I almost feel like our listeners need to listen to the pre-recording conversations, and we were talking about, you know, your ABCA experience and obviously the convention experience that you've had. And what I love, and when we get loyal guys like you on the show, Greg, and we get a chance to talk, and I get to ask that question almost off camera, and the beauty of it is it's just loyalty and such positive experiences come out of that. And I think it has to be such a cool feeling to know that you've been a loyal member to us, and now you get to jump up on stage where you've sat back and taken notes on guys. You're going to be the guy with the spotlight on you. And talk about just what the ABCA has meant to you throughout your career and just how pumped you are to get to Anaheim.
Well, I'll tell the people that weren't on the call when we started to talk, but you're so humble. You mentioned that a few guys who have been consistent at the ABCA came out on their own. You didn't ask them to talk about how the experience changes them, makes them a better coach. But I said, hey, Sheets, you have to, because it's for everybody. It really is. If you're a first-year coach and you're there to do 99% of the information hunt, you're going to be elevated in some way. And if you're a guy that's been there for 50 years and you really have a great feel for the way you want to do things, you're probably still going to get just as much out of the information. And then you're going to see all your friends and grow deeper in some relationships. So I can't think of anybody in baseball, let alone coaching. I think it's a great thing now for some of these young guys that want to be in pro baseball to come in and listen to the way the game is being taught. I have just stacks and stacks of folders and binders from the ABCA and then relationships that started there that have been going for now 15, 18 years. So I'm excited to see everybody that I haven't seen in a while. And I hope so many people will see what this is, and people that never thought about going will go for the relationships as well as the baseball.
Absolutely. And this is going to be a tremendous convention experience. We're excited to get out to the West Coast and connect with a side of the country that we try to get out to as much as we can. But the convention and what we have set up is going to be phenomenal. I mean, Greg, you're part of what many coaches have grabbed us as. This might be the best speaker lineup of any convention they've looked to attend. And it's got to be humbling for you to be a part of that. And what I'm looking forward to is we all get the preview now. We get to talk a little bit about your clinic. And that's been the beauty of the podcast, is giving you guys an opportunity to connect with listeners and they connect with you on your topic. And we're talking about pitching mechanicless, which again is going to be a real hot button topic of how you're getting this across to your players. So if you could just kick it off, describe what that means for you in terms of dealing with your pitching staff and how you're accomplishing that.
Sure. Well, is there anything better than talking pitching? I don't think so.
Absolutely.
But, you know, pitching mechanicless is an idea that unfortunately uses the word mechanics because, you know, you listen to the guys who throw in these big league games or these big games, small games, and usually when they do their interview afterwards, they're not talking about the success they had in getting their front side to a certain spot. They're not talking about their leg lift or even where the back knee tension was. Some great things that are so important in pitching. They're talking about their rhythm, their tempo, maybe talking a little bit of direction. They're talking about more what they did with the ball than what they did over the rubber. And I think that's a language we have to speak to the players consistently. And then we have to figure out that separation of when is it time for us to go play around with some of those, you know, those body parts. And then how do we teach the player, not necessarily how to go pitch, but how to separate between when it's time to leave mechanics there in their duffel bag and when it's time just to turn your back on the dugout and go out and pitch. And I always think back to the article that ESPN did 2-3 years ago on Kershaw, and his catcher at the time said that you can't talk to Kershaw about mechanics on game day. And the reason, well, I think, was the best part, because Kershaw thinks it's a crutch. If you're talking mechanics, thinking mechanics in the middle of an outing, before an outing, then you're setting yourself up for some circumstance, because the mechanics, in my opinion, it's like the weather. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but you got to pitch. You got to go out and do your job. So that's what we're trying to teach here, and that's the idea of pitching mechanicless. Still work at those mechanics, but go out there and see if you can cut the ties a little bit and go have some fun doing, you know, what they do in sandlots.
You know, I think, Greg, there's going to be coaches that are going to be listening that might say it might be impossible to ignore mechanics, and it might be, you know, it's really tough to make it that simple. It really just can't be that true, Greg. It really can't be that simple. But go into that a little bit more detail. You know, what is the difference between truly focused on mechanics or just focused on, like you said, what's going on with the baseball?
I think it comes down to the way the pitcher is going to talk to himself and in different places on the field. So when he's on the mound and he's pitching in a game, he's got to talk to himself a certain way. He's got to do certain things. And again, that's back to more about what he wants to do with the ball than what he wants to have happen over the rubber. And it happens at practice all the time. Somebody will tell me that, you know, I'm too stiff. I'm flying my front side. And well, that's a language that probably doesn't work. It definitely doesn't work consistently on the mound. So do they speak the right language to themselves in diagnosing troubles when they pop up? And then just staying in that mode, the green light mentality, when it's going well. When it's going well, it's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. But we tend to get less consistent. Pitchers do if they go to the mechanics as soon as they feel something break down. So it's sort of taking that crutch, for lack of a better term, out of there when they go to the mound, so that they learn how to go without the crutch more consistently. And then when they go to the foul line, yeah, go ahead. You're going to spend 20 minutes working on a certain skill, a certain key. Well, then that language is fine over there, but let's figure out where the separation is going to be and where it needs to be for each individual guy.
You were kind of getting more detail on this. Go into exactly what that practice environment looks like for your guys. I mean, we're brought up being physical, being simple, but what are those coaching cues? What are you directing them down that path? How are you getting them there?
I think to keep mechanics out of there, you almost have to talk about direction and relaxation. And relaxation is kind of a slippery term because, I mean, you don't just relax your lower half, let's say, into noodles down there. But what you want to be is able to think that way and talk that way. So, you know, sometimes if a guy says, well, my breaking ball is backing up, I can't find it, or we're seeing that happen, it's as simple as him telling himself, hey, relax the lower half. And I know that is borderline simplistic, but the other answer is to get in the mechanics while he's competing, and we can almost guarantee that we're gonna plug the dam for a short time, and then something's gonna break. Mm-hmm. So a key for me is trying to get a guy away from body parts and start to think in terms of rhythm, direction, where my eyes are going, just things that are more about what they're gonna do as compared to what they're gonna feel.
I guess, you know, as I'm thinking through this as a coach, how many guys, this is off the beaten path here, but how many guys are you dealing with that are coming in as maybe new players or transfer players that you're having to reprogram them? I mean, I can imagine guys that come up doing lessons and have always dealt with a pitching instructor or maybe a high school coach that was really into mechanics, and now you're having to curb that and take them down this different path. Talk about some experiences you've had dealing with players like that.
I think you nailed the challenge, and the challenge is it's not a negative or a positive. We just have to use what is there. I always hear Nick Saban say that it's okay if players are a little selfish. You know, that's a reflex response by coach. Well, the players are selfish sometimes. Well, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. What he's saying is if they are, let's figure out how to bring the best out of them based on that. And I think in baseball, maybe in other sports too, we're getting a lot of guys that now more than ever have done one of two things. They have really gone into the lessons mode, and sometimes that's good. It teaches them certain parts of dynamic balance. And then there's others that have really laid on the showcase side of it, and they're into different things. You know, they have different keys that mean success for them. So as they arrive on campus, we sort of have to be in the middle there and understand who's here, the way they think on the mound matters, and then how are we going to bring the best out of them so that they can compete when they get out there. You know, showing up at a 1-5 and throwing 95 is okay because you're throwing 95, but when you're in the middle of the fall and you're down to 91 and it's starting to flatten out because your body's tired and you're still a 1-5, now, you know, that hole starts to be a glaring thing that has to be dealt with. And we have to teach them how to compete in the game, not showcase or not just purely take the lesson and try to apply it.
Is there a certain point in practice that it hits that it's important to completely move away from any type of mechanical talk and really just keep it solely focused on just simply making pitches?
I think there's different parts of the field that can be used, and really in different times. I think of it as 1 hour, 1 minute, and 1 second. I think one day a week, if you want to key on being mechanical, feel free to spend an hour in different ways, but make that its own hour. Don't make that part of the hour where you're working, you know, a short game where you're working on a two-pitch combo or a certain pitch off the plate. Let that be something very, very simple that's just there to kind of bring out your best signature delivery. And then, you know, throughout play catch, there might be 1 minute that you kind of back out and say, okay, in this 1 minute, I'm going to really key on this. And then you kind of back out of that and you're in medium long or long toss and you've got your rhythm back and you're back to sort of that physical, that simple, that fun, that athleticism. And then in a game, I think the best guys can take a second and step back and say, hey, this is where I make that switch. Usually I think that comes from a good breath and, you know, some relaxation or just that direction we were talking about. But if you just say the closer I get to the rubber itself, the shorter my ability is to go into that mode, that mechanical approach, so that, you know, 5 days away from a start, no problem. Even 200 feet from the mound, no problem. But as I'm on that mound, 1 second's about all I'm going to give myself to kind of enter into that world.
That's what we're, you know, getting into away from practice. Now it's get in game, and you've made reference to these a couple times, but I'm interested in hearing a lot more of the adjustments, the mindset, the reminders. You talked about, you know, slowing down the lower half as an example. What are those things that you're teaching those guys and almost arming their tool belt that they can pull out in those critical moments in a game? They're going to get them back to a good place and really focus on what they're going to do with the ball.
I think the first question we can ask is, are you seeing the target? And I think of the 0-2 count, and I think of the 2-0 inning where they're on the bad side of that 2-0 and they're in the middle of the inning. Now, the 0-2 count, that's the excitement count, where I finally got this guy where I want him and I'm going to just let this fastball go. And sometimes you lose sight of the target because you're so excited to make the pitch. You know, the eyes kind of dart in the head, they jiggle a little bit, and then we overthrow the pitch, and we don't just do what we're there to do, which is execute at the same timing and tempo as it took to get there. So excitement can lead to us not seeing the target. And then sometimes we're on our heels a little bit because a few things have happened to us as pitchers. So that's the 2-0 inning. And then we have to be able to step back as a pitcher and say, am I seeing my target? Just something that simple. Am I seeing it clearly? If you are, then you're probably moving at your pace and slow enough to keep making them. If you're not, then we've got to equip them to get on that grass and just slow it down so that they can coach themselves a little bit and say, okay, let's take the breath, let's relax and keep seeing the target. I think a lot of times they want to go to something a little more complex because complex is going to fix it. We try to tell our guys all the time, the simplest answer is often the best answer. So eyesight clear and a good body breath, if you execute one of those two things or even both when you're overexcited or you're on your heels a little bit, that's when you just kind of slow down and get back to doing what you do.
You made reference to this, and I'm going to jump all over it because I've heard a number of great coaches reference this. You want to coach your players in a way to where they are certainly going to be their own coach. They're going to be in the box, on the rubber, and they're going to be able to not have to always look to the dugout or listen for that cue or really dwell on those in-between innings conversations. They can step back and have enough maturity and responsibility and accountability for what they're really working to do, and they can make those adjustments themselves. How does your staff, how have they dealt with that mentality? Because certainly not very many 18-year-olds are going to walk into Northridge with that mentality, but how have they responded to almost, Greg, being empowered to be their own best pitching coach and work for themselves, especially in the in-game moment?
Empowered is a good word. And the term empowered to succeed instead of entitled to succeed, there's no guarantee you're going to succeed, but you got to be empowered to do it.
Sure.
And that takes the right language pre-practice, in practice. You got to talk to yourself. I think on the coaching side, though, it's kind of counterintuitive sometimes for me. I catch myself saying, well, that's not what I think here, but I think it might be the best thing for my – I look at the pitchers a lot as Lightning McQueen, you know, the fast car from Radiator Springs.
Sure.
He always wants to race, and he believes he's the best, and he just wants to get in there and race somebody. And then I think sometimes as the pitching coach, I'm Mater. You know, I'm the guy that kind of tows him somewhere, and I don't know that much, but I'm friendly. I'm willing to hear a few things. And then a lot of times by just pulling him somewhere else, I can listen long enough, and who cares if the intelligence is average. They'll get to where they want to go, and they know, you know, kind of their best approach. But that takes reps away from the field, on the field. And that's where I think we can show our best strength, is just by letting them talk through some things, and they'll catch a lot of what is wrong. And they'll catch themselves trying to be too fancy with their legs in certain situations. And that's where it's just a challenge. When do we become Mater, and when do we help Lightning in different ways?
By far and away, without a doubt, our first Cars reference on Calls from the Clubhouse podcast.
I think you need more. It's a great movie.
Yes, it is. That's a great example, though. Makes total sense. And, you know, this approach, working to get your pitching staff to think mechanic-less, certainly changes the dynamic of the player to the pitching coach, right? I mean, I would reference this for you and speak on it, is have you always kind of adopted this mentality or had these thoughts, or how has that progressed? But then also, how has your role and the specifics of that role changed as the pitching coach as you've gotten deeper into your career?
That's a great question, and one I've never really been asked or answered. I think back to what I used to listen to Reagan say. He'd say, hey, what happens when you unleash the human spirit? Great things happen. He was talking about a lot of people, and he was talking about, you know, the country. And I think you look at that in coaching and you say, well, how do we unleash that guy out on the mound? Not just his aggression, not just the animal side of him, but the intellectual side of him. So he knows what to think and how to think out there, where I'm not telling him what to think. I'm teaching him how to think, and maybe even giving him a framework for what he's doing out there. And as an example, when our guys go out, we say every time, you're three parts of a triangle. You're an approach, physical, and visual. So you have this APV, and they don't think about this when they're on the mound. Not at all, I don't think. But after the game, it's a quick little framework for us to reinforce pitching mechanicalists, making sure that we're unleashing what they do. And it's approach, it's physical, and it's visual. I can ask them about all three of them. How were they today? And because it's so repetitious, they come back, and you know, I think they have a good understanding of their best approach, the way their body works best, and how clear they are and seeing what's in front of them and doing it as well as they can. So, first time I've ever been asked that, I think that's where it comes from. The more I can get out of the way by giving them a framework, I think the more aggressive they're going to be when they make their own decisions.
Absolutely. Well, you can tell that. I mean, it makes total sense. I'm interested, Greg, and again, getting off the script here, but the conversations and the feedback, especially as a player progresses in your program, and you know, as any coach will tell you, you often can only gain perspective through experience. And for a player to come in at 18 and be who he was at 18, but spend time with you in the bullpen and on the mound and on your pitching staff, What's the feedback that that player gives you maybe at 21, 22, and he can reflect back of where he's come from? What are the kind of those stories and what are those mentalities that come out of that feedback from those guys in terms of how they've progressed inside your program?
Well, they think I'm nuts, but but they think that because we're trying to connect some things, even in things that they hear. Like this morning at practice, we were pushing the idea of writing that plan and understanding that at practice and in everything you do. And I gave an example of commercial that's on the radio right now, and it's a group telling you to keep your thermostat at 68 degrees. And I said, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that they have the ability to come in and tell you? I said, I'll be honest, guys, that kind of made me mad that somebody would tell me, even though I'm paying for the service, that I should keep it at 68, not 72. I get to make that call. And sometimes those take some, they take some explanation to explain what we mean, but we also have to teach them how to catch the language of, okay, I'm okay being acted upon. You know, I only take BP when the wind's blowing out. No, you're going to take BP because you're focused on different things that are going to give you feedback on whether you're successful or not. But it's not what everybody else is looking at. It's not the home run. It's a good at bat. So I think on the pitching side, we're just trying to keep them simple, keep them aggressive, and then let them connect to some things that might relate to life. Our guys will yell something across campus. They'll yell AOP. And all AOP means, it's attack on every pitch. But it's a reminder of the guys walking into a class that, hey, whatever you're going to do right now, attack it. Walking up those steps to go to class, be ready to go right now. And you know, going to study hall, be ready to go right now. And I think it carries over that decision-making ability to be decisive, but then to play at the same time. It really reflects the delivery you should be able to play with. But your decision-making, I mean, it's concrete. Let's go. I'm throwing that fastball in. That's the separation we're trying to teach.
That's really good, and I'm not going to let you end it right there. Go into, because that dwells in that post-game mentality that you're referring to. You know, how are you reinforcing that with them about being more physical and more attacking in their approach? But that's transcending. Now you're getting well past the pitching staff. Like you said, you're dwelling into the campus life and more importantly, what they're doing post-baseball. But that's a program statement. And go into that a little bit in terms of what you're really arming them with that is truly transcending the bullpen.
No, I hope so. You know, when they leave the game, we'll ask them. I know they're taxed, and we want them to be able to build on what they did well and work on what they didn't do well. And so we have BOW. We'll just ask them, you know, whether it was a test or an outing, whether it was a conversation with the professor, hey, what would you build on? What would you work on? It's a little bit forced. But when they really care, and they do, about their baseball side, they'll sit down and they'll write what they can build on. They'll write about what they're going to work on in the sort of action plan. But that's the part where I don't know what they're going to build on all the time or work on. But if we give them a little framework, they'll figure it out and they'll own it going forward.
That's good stuff. I think this whole idea, and again, it's so interesting. We've talked about pitching for half an hour here, and we haven't really dove into anything mechanically, which is obviously the mission of your clinic. But is there a reason that maybe this fits the today's player better than maybe it would a few years ago or 15, 20 years ago? Is there a reason that this makes more sense now than maybe it did in the past?
I think so. And this is a little more sociological and around the dinner table, but when these guys are told at every turn what not to do and what to do, and there's a lot of experts around, there's so much information. They have to know, hey, if somebody tells me I can't water my lawn three times, let me think through that. The thermostat, let me think through that. But even when they go to their academic advisors, the advisors are so good and there's so much money now and support, the advisor becomes the decider. And it's still your degree. It's still your academic life. It's still your decision as to whether you're going to just get a grade or actually go learn something. And a lot of the wisest people I know don't have degrees, and that's because they just decided they wanted to learn. And we got to get them to think like that. It's not about getting the degree. It's about learning how to learn. And it's not about winning the game. It's about learning how to think in these situations, these moments, so that it carries over to the next outing, and you just keep building and growing. And it's the Stephen Covey upward spiral idea.
So I'm guessing, Greg, and again, as a listener looking inside the Cal State Northridge program, I think you've got a lot of ears perked here because they're hearing some really great things that are going on there. We're talking about pitching, but again, you sit as head coach, so you're really working to develop 35 guys, not just 18 of them. How has some of those pitching lessons, how is that filtering down through your positional group? Because again, it's easy, you know, love talking about pitching, but we also understand that a lot of times the pitcher and the position player can live on two different planets. But those messages, you know, but those messages, those really inherent lessons are making their way certainly through each guy. What are kind of the positive messages that are going through your entire club?
Yeah, I think they're all the same. You know, build on, work on, that's for anybody and everybody. The approach, physical, visual idea, really that's just mind, body, spirit. We just threw some athletic tags on it so that people don't misunderstand what we're getting at. We're talking about just a task or an outing or an inning. We're not trying to make it too big, even though down the road we may be able to connect this to something bigger, but it's pretty simple. It really is. There's not too many letters, even though we use a lot of acronyms that make a difference in the program. There's just a few simple things like APB and build on, work on. We have our DORS, which is about the team. So it all ties to pitching. It all ties to being a better teammate. We hope it ties to getting better when they leave here.
Sure. We're looking at talking about pitching, and I'm interested because, again, how simple you've made things for us. But give us that great quote that's just going to sum up pitching for you and what it means to you.
I think the best quote to sum up pitching is a perfect glove drowns out all fear. And I think when you stand up there and you just want to make this pitch, I know it is simplistic, but if you just love that situation, that moment, that glove, it makes your mouth water like there's a steak in front of you. And we train that way and we see it that way and we respond that way when it's going well and when it's not going well. I mean, you just love that. Good things happen because of that love.
Well, this has been a tremendous conversation. I'm jacked up at my desk right now. I know we're going to probably, you and I are going to close it down, but keep talking. But Greg, I cannot thank you enough for being on. I think most importantly, I know there's listeners that have now been introduced to you and what you're about and what's going on there at Northridge and can't wait to see you up on the main stage and hear this clinic in person. So thanks for the time, making time for our calls from the Clubhouse podcast. And we certainly look forward to connecting with you here in a month or so.
Sheets, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Keeping it simple on the mound. And that's how they're doing it at Cal State Northridge. A big thank you to Greg Moore, head coach at CSUN, for sitting down with us for this terrific episode. You know, it's amazing how the importance of program culture, it seems to always find a way to sneak its way into almost every episode. And it's apparent that Greg and his staff are doing exceptional things there for the Matadors. If you're a pitching coach or just looking to learn more about pitching, we're positive you gained some insight from the approach that Greg has taken with his arms, keeping their minds clear, empowering his players with confidence to make their own adjustments in practice and games. And we're excited to see this presentation in Anaheim. And again, Greg, thanks for the time. Thanks for the information. We appreciate you sitting down with us. If you enjoyed this episode and you're interested in our previous calls from the Clubhouse shows, you can find a complete listing on our website, abca.org. Click on the resources tab at the top. Calls from the Clubhouse podcast will be right there waiting for you. Scroll down and check out the extensive list of guys we've already had on the show to date. You can also check us out on iTunes. You can subscribe to our show, and each time a brand new episode is published, it's going to show up on your phone or your computer, and you can enjoy that great audio gold. We're closing in on our guest list for 2016, but we've already set up great episodes for 2017. This podcast is getting bigger and better, and we do not want you to miss out on all this tremendous content. If you're on social media, we are too. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We're at ABCA1945. We always welcome a great tweet or a message. We love hearing about you and your staff getting registered for membership or for our Anaheim convention, but also the great things that you're doing with your programs and your players. Guys, feel free to engage with us on all fronts. We love hearing from our coaches. Also, if you're a coach that's craving more baseball knowledge, guys, you got to look into our hashtag ABCA chat. These are always going to be on the Tuesdays after the release of our podcast, always at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's a tremendous opportunity to connect with coaches from all over the world. It's a group of coaches on the same chat, sharing coaching information, networking with one another. They've been such a huge positive hit. They're very well attended, and we hope we see you checking in on our next hashtag ABCA chat. Again, my name is Jeremy Schiedinger from the ABCA. You can find me on Twitter @CoachSheets3 or shoot me an email at Sheets, SHEETS, at abca.org. It's always great hearing from you guys through Twitter, through email. It's been great getting some of the testimonial stuff from this podcast or just the great things we're doing as an association. But please feel free to always reach out. We truly appreciate that. And if you're serious about coaching, if you're serious about your development professionally and personally, guys, you got to join the ABCA. It's the world's largest baseball coaches fraternity. Last year, we had over 8,300 of your peers joined our great association. We're well over 4,000 after only our first 2 months of membership. It's just $45. Those are your yearly dues to join the ABCA, but we give each coach an extensive membership benefit package, personal liability insurance, access to clinic videos, rental car, hotel discounts, Inside Pitch magazine delivered right to your door. Guys, the list goes on and on, but the ABCA is all about serving our coaches, and we hope to see you jump on board with us. Of course, our biggest event of the year, guys, it's coming up quickly. The buzz is in the air, and you can actually feel it. Coaches around the world are getting fired up for this January in Anaheim and our annual ABCA National Convention. It's January 5th through the 8th. And across all fronts, you cannot find a better way to kick off the brand new year. Get each of our coaches excited, recharged for their upcoming season. But it's the convention experience, guys. You got to see and feel for yourself. 25 coaching clinics from the very best coaches in the world. Just by being there, you're going to receive each clinic video for free. You can walk through the world's largest baseball trade show. It's over 300 plus exhibitors showcasing their products or their services. You got divisional coaches meetings. You got hot stove discussions, the networking opportunities, the impromptu hot stove discussions in every nook of the hotel, guys. It's a collection of the truly committed coaches, the one percenters out there in our profession who crave more knowledge, but they also know they cannot miss out on a convention and the many benefits that come along with attendance. We hope each of you are planning to get to Anaheim along with us, and we look forward to connecting with each of you in Cali this January. Thanks again, coaches, for listening in. We are so thankful for your loyalty to our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. We hope to hear from each of you very soon. And again, thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.